Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Wow, it's very nice.
This Bendrovsky Show, Benny J. Bonus Interview, is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, and the Chicago Federation of Labor. Benny J., take it away.
Bonus time on the Bendrovsky Show as I speak. It's Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Lord knows when you're listening to it, because this is a podcast. I'll tell you what was in the news today, give you an idea of what's going on in the world. Here's a headline from the paper. Rudy Giuliani is a pervert. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the headline for the paper, but it could be the headline for the paper. And it very much relates to what we're going to be talking about today with my distinguished guest. So as I always do with distinguished guests on bonus interviews, I ask distinguished guest, introduce yourself. Take it away, distinguished guest.
I am distinguished guest Sergio Mims. Among many of the things I do, I'm the co-founder and a co-program of the Black Harvest Film Festival, which will take place next month, later than usual because of the situation we're in right now. And like every other film festival that's going on around the world, this will be a virtual festival. We have a lot of movies, but it'll be available on streaming on the Gene Siskel Film Center website. You can just go on their website, CiskoFilmCenter.org, to check out what we'll be showing of films and documentaries and shorts and all the stuff. And we'll be doing panels as well. They'll be on Zoom, but we'll be doing panels. And hopefully next year we'll be back to normal.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. It's one of my favorite film festivals. Let's get to Borat.
Yeah. Borat's subsequent movie film. Right.
Yes. Number two. Your thoughts.
I love this film to death. I think it is brilliant. It is gasp inducing. There are some scenes in this movie, sequences in the film, I literally gasped out loud. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. Now, everything he does works. But I love the original Borat. I saw Bruno was hysterical. I really like the Showtime show he did called Who is America? Mm-hmm. But his return is Borat. And my first inclination was that, gee, is there stuff left here he can do? I don't know. Let's see. And one of the smart things he does is that he gives this movie an emotional follow-through, which is this guy, Borat, and now his relationship with his daughter, okay, who is played by this young actress who was Bulgarian. Mm-hmm. She's a young, we can't really pronounce her last name. I kept saying, where did he find her? And turns out she's Bulgarian. She is a Bulgarian actress. She made some movies in Bulgaria. She's a graduate of the National Bulgarian Film School. And somehow, I guess she auditioned for this part and she got it. You know, that accent you hear from her is real. Yeah. She's not putting on a fake accent. But it's a follow-through between Borat's relation to his daughter, right? And so that's a follow-through that gives the movie a sort of emotional lift that the original film didn't have. But it's simply Borat again traveling through now Trump's America. And boy, it is unbelievable what he gets people to do here. I mean, the scene in the bakery.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just like, or when he's living with the two guys who he lived with for 5 days.
QAnon. Yes, the QAnon supporters, yeah.
The scene in the debutante ball had me gasping. Mm. Okay. Now they set the big punchline up, but when it happens, I went, oh my God. You know? Another scene when the daughter visits that meeting of Republican women. And then of course there is the stuff with Giuliani.
All right, well let's wait. Hold on before you get to Giuliani. Okay. Because that's and a whole thing.
There's a twist at the end. There is a twist at the end of this movie, which is brilliantly conceived. It is brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's I'm with you 100%, Sergio. You recommended it wholeheartedly for me to watch. Originally, we weren't even going to talk about it. We were going to just do this whole show. It was going to be Chicago 7. And I watched it last night instead of the presidential debate because I could not take another minute of Donald Trump's gaslighting. I was so glad I did it. I wanted to call you. It was like past midnight, but I figured it was too late to call you.
Well, you did text me. Yeah.
I did text you. Yeah. Yeah, I was sorry about that, man. But before we get to Giuliani, which is just a fascinating moment in film on so many levels, the abortion clinic scene, I don't even know if it was an abortion clinic. It was a health clinic. And the gag here is that Borat's daughter, the Bulgarian actress that Sergio was alluding to, accidentally swallows a little baby that was atop of a cupcake she was eating.
Right.
And she gets a stomach ache, so they take her to a clinic. And the clinic is one of these anti-abortion clinics that I don't know what state it's in. If it's maybe Florida or Alabama. I really don't know where they were. I can't remember. And they're met by a counselor, a young man, who is counseling them. His purpose is to counsel women away from having an abortion. And the dialogue that emerges, Sergio, made me wonder if this was actually scripted, because Sacha Baron Cohen, Borat, and his daughter are talking in a way that they're explaining how she swallowed this plastic baby, but they're doing it in such a way to make you think that Sacha Baron Cohen, Borat, has impregnated his 15-year-old daughter.
If you see the trailer for the movie, you see that scene, but not without the previous setup, okay? So when you hear it, yeah, a lot of what he does, so you have a different idea what's going on, but when you see the setup, oh, it's something different altogether. It's basically they're pulling somebody's leg. Okay. The thing about it is that a lot of the stuff he does, of course, is scripted between him and whoever he's working with. Not with the people they're fooling, right? But part of it is scripted. Part of it is improvisation. It depends on which way it's going to go. By the way, the actress's name, I want to get her right. The actress's name is Maria Bakalova. That's her name.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maria Bakalova. According to this, she was chosen for 600 women who auditioned for the part. She responded to an open casting call for the film. She sent in the tape, went to London to audition for the part, and he selected her. And she's fantastic. She's
brilliant. She steals the show in many ways. That scene at the debutante's ball, the first Borat, there's the scene where Borat is wrestling with a naked man. He's naked himself. Right. And that is the shock value of that one. In this movie, it is the dance at the
debutante's ball. Right.
And I really won't give it away. I mean, I know I said we were going to do spoiler alerts, but you just got to see it to believe it.
And the thing about it is that once again, he goes into the heart of America. He is revealing the real America, as he did with the first movie. He's showing the small-mindedness, the pettiness. Now, of course, you can say it's loaded, that With this kind of movies, he shoots a lot of footage and he takes like the worst stuff. Mm. You know, the probably scenes that simply didn't work out or scenes where people caught on to him too fast, you know, or scenes that didn't work out the way he planned. So there probably was a ton of footage that he had to riddle down to this 96-minute movie, and evidently he was still shooting this film up until last month. When you watch the final scenes of this movie, the final climax. So when did he do this? It must have been within the last two months at least, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of open ended. I mean, they shoot some stuff, and then they set up for new stuff, and then they set up for new stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if it took him maybe 10 months to shoot this thing. You know, it's just a bit at a time. You know, let's come up with something else now. What can we do now? One of the things he said once was that when people asked him, don't people have second thoughts, you know, when they do this stuff? And he said, Cohen said, no, when people see a camera, they literally lose all their inhibitions. It's like, it's the opposite now. Before, there used to be a time, you remember the time when a camera came up, people would hide?
Yeah.
Now it's completely different. When people see a camera, hey, I'm going to be famous.
Yeah. Well, the first Borat movie, it was easier to laugh at it. This movie, though, there's some scenes where I was laughing. To me, there was something more ominous about it. And I believe that Sacha Baron Cohen's intent, because we're in Donald Trump's America, and you said it right up front, Sergio. This is an excursion into Donald Trump's America. This is an excursion in the MAGA country. And when you see just sort of the blatant anti-Semitism that exists in MAGA country, I'm trying to think if there's any blatant racist attitudes in this movie. He didn't play to that like he did in the first Borat. But when you just see how much like it's there, and that scene in particular where the country western singer, where he pretends he's a country western singer. And
remember when that happened. That was last year, last summer. I read the story that Cohen had infiltrated this MAGA rally and pretended to be the singer. And I thought it was for the TV show. I didn't know this was for the movie. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's very frightening what people will sing along to. You know, they like the beat of of the music, and they like the lyrics. It's very, I found it very ominous with Donald Trump's America that, you know, there's this undercurrent of violence. There's this undercurrent of hatred.
As I said before, I was talking to the way we live today. I was doing a Zoom call with some friends of mine in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all talked about this grievance that white guys have, you know, this is grievance that your life didn't turn out to be what you were told it was going to be. And it's because you got screwed from the Eastern elites who let black people convince them to give them everything for free. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the Hispanics are taking your jobs. And women don't know when to shut up, and for God's sake, gay people are taking over everything, right? Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump is the last great hope for white men. You know, as I told my friend last night, I said white guys better hope that Trump wins, because if he doesn't, they're going to come home one day and find their wife having sex with three black guys. You know, and if you think I'm being over exaggerating, take a look at what Giuliani said last week in Philadelphia.
What is No, I probably didn't have forgot because so much has been going on.
Rudy Giuliani, who we're going to talk to.
We're going
to
talk about real soon. Go ahead.
Yeah. He gave a speech to some MAGA supporters in Philadelphia, and he was talking about that couple who stood outside their house with the guns as they mm-hmm. passed by. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, those people, they yelled at them, "We're going to rape your wife. We're going to rape your wife." Mm. And their daughter was hiding underneath the bed because she was afraid these people were going to come break into her house and grab her and rape her. He wow. actually said that
yeah.
in Philadelphia to a crowd. You know, being on the worst fear imaginable. There is no bottom with these people.
Yeah. No,
there's
no
bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And by the way, Borat makes a couple jokes along these lines too. He just sort of taps into the white fear about the black man. And it's also, by the way, a throwaway line in Chicago 7 with the receptionist at the defendant's office making a joke about it as well. It seems to be in the air a lot. All right, let's get to Giuliani.
Yeah.
I opened today's show. The Giuliani scene is the one that's getting all the attention.
Right.
And I opened the show today by saying that, in my humble opinion, Rudy Giuliani should send a letter of thanks to Sacha Baron Cohen, because Sacha Baron Cohen saved his sorry ass. Rudy Giuliani was about to do something, cross a line that... Well, it's in the age of MAGA accepts anything their leaders do, but would have really put him in a precarious situation. He was about to, in my humble opinion, unzip his pants to get ready to sleep with the 24-year-old actress that he thought was a 15-year-old girl.
Right. In the movie, she's in her early 20s. But in the movie, she plays Borat's 15-year-old daughter. Right.
Yeah. And so Rudy Giuliani, for all he knows, he's with a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And at that moment, just when he's about to do this, his hands in his pants,
yeah.
into the room bursts Borat to save him. And so I have "save" in quotes. The scene shifts, and suddenly Rudy Giuliani is aware of the fact that he's been trapped in a Borat movie, and he quickly snaps to his senses. Your thoughts, your reaction, your take on that scene?
Well, Rudy Giuliani, somebody once said about him, if he had left politics after... You know, after he was mayor, they would have been naming schools after him. They would have been naming streets after him, public parks after him. He still would have been considered America's mayor, even though his record as mayor in New York isn't great, not by a long shot. But he just degenerated into what he's become, which is, I dare say, almost ghoulish. And, you know, as you know, his daughter has come out publicly against him. Now, you know, publicly for Biden. Now, she's in a delicate position because she doesn't want to put him down because she was his father. But at the same time, she's an actress, so she's stuck with the name. So she's still trying to separate herself from him. And by the way, there's a really great line that Borat said to Giuliani about his cousin.
Yes.
If people don't know of that story about Giuliani and his first wife. So, and by the way, Giuliani is right now divorcing his third wife. Which I understand is a pretty ugly case. You know, Giuliani has become this clown, this joke, this ghoul almost. And he has leaned into all his worst excesses and things. And so this scene in the movie is funny, and but it doesn't really shock me because, yeah, Rudy Giuliani would go there. He would, you know, that's what he has become. And a man who has lost all respect And so he's reduced to hanging out with the Trump crowd.
Yeah.
So that's how far he has sunk. So, yeah, you know, he's doing everything he can, saying that, oh, I knew I was in all the time. I didn't do anything. But, of course, you would watch the movie. And, of course, to talk about, well, it was re-edited to make him look worse. You know, the fact that he's actually in the room with the woman.
Yes.
You know, is bad enough. You know, lying down on the bed.
Yeah. I don't know what editing technique. He laid on the bed. He put his hands in his pants.
Right.
You know. And by the way, there's just an undercurrent of discussion in this movie about pedophilia. There's moments where Jeffrey Epstein is raised. They show the footage of Donald Trump and Epstein cavorting together. The fact that she's 15 years old, and there's the scene where with the abortion counselor, where they talk about as though Borat has impregnated his 15-year-old daughter. I mean, there's this undercurrent that in Trump's America, this is sort of like acceptable behavior for old men.
Yes,
with 15-year-olds.
Yeah, it's really disturbing. It's very disturbing. That's been going on for a while. The whole Jeffrey Epstein case, I have a real fascination with, because from everything I've read or seen, there have been two documentary series about the Epstein case, one on Netflix, one on the Discovery Channel, which I both seen. I guess I'm sure somebody is writing the book on him. There was a ruling yesterday that Ghislaine Maxwell has, you know, they're going to have to release everything she has on Maxwell. Basically, from what I understand, Jeffrey Epstein was a blackmailer. He had information, he had videos of very famous, important people cavorting with underage women. And he used that to blackmail them to gain power and access. This whole pedophilia thing is something that is very, I think, prevalent and very strong among MAGA country, among, I would say, the Republican Party. Among people in power right now. Yeah. And it's scary and it's frightening. And I think Jeffrey Epstein may be the tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's one of the themes in this movie, Borat. And in addition to the latent racism and anti-Semitism, it's hardly latent anymore. It's right there at the surface. It just pops out. All Borat has to do is give a little push, and out it pops. The depravity.
There was a picture that came out a few days ago, a never seen before picture of Trump with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
And with Ivanka when she was, I guess, 15 years old or younger. I said, oh, my God. It's frightening.
Yeah. It's the president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's interesting. I don't know what impact Borat 2 will have on the presidential race. My guess is that MAGA will hate it.
It's not going to convert anybody.
Right, right.
I mean, it's for the choir. It's for us, you know. But it reinforces the fact that we're not alone, that there are millions of people. And I don't want to say that it's over for Trump for the election. Anything is possible. But increasingly, more and more, it looks like Trump will lose. And not only lose, but he's going to lose really big. He's lost women. Let me clarify that. He's lost white women. He's lost seniors. Black people are not going to vote for him. And can we stop right now with this whole thing about black men for Trump? That's not happening.
Oh, my God. Thank you for saying this. Please say this more. Just say this, Sergio. Say this.
You get a few. right. But, you know, this whole thing that's crept up in the last week or so, you know, black men, he may get not. No, he's not going to get any kind of significant vote of black men. There'll be. And, you know, also, one thing that does bother me, and a lot of black men have this problem, is that they keep talking about black women are the backbone of the Democratic Party. Well, black men are too. You know, black men vote.
No, you're so right.
We're not here. We don't exist. Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, what are black men doing? We're staying home?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I see yeah. these lines. I voted already. I see these lines of people.
Wait, where did you vote?
Pardon me?
Where did you vote? You voted already?
Well, yeah, mail? I went to a, there is a, well, now they open it in your precinct, right? Yeah. Early voting. But for a couple of weeks before then, there were places where you could go vote. And the one nearest me is over on 43rd and the Martin Luther King Center on 43rd and College.
I got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is located, okay, not downtown. Okay, it's located on the south side.
Yes.
Listen to that, Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
It's not in Andersonville. Okay? Yeah. All right.
But so, it was the site of a Pete Buttigieg rally, if you recall, wasn't it?
Oh, did have one right there.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, we talked about that at length on the show at one point.
Yeah. No, I voted there. You know. There wasn't a line then. Now I'm sure people are lining up. But there was a photograph. A video I saw yesterday of people standing in line in the driving rain in Florida to vote. Many of them without umbrellas standing in line. And of course, you realize that the more people vote, already now nearly 50 people have voted already, which is an all time record.
Wait, 50%? You mean? Yeah. How many people did you say?
Almost 50 million.
Oh, my God. Wow.
The last I heard was over 48 million. So it's close to 50.
Are you sure? Damn.
Right. Yeah. I heard that today.
Well, I hope that you're correct and our dear friend Monroe Anderson is correct and that it's a great triumph for Joe Biden and a major setback for Trump and Trumpism. And I hope that people watch Borat 2. If only to get a sense of how low we have fallen, you know what I mean? And just a brilliant movie, Sergio. Thank you for urging me to watch it.
That has always been there.
Yeah.
That strain, that side, that part of the country has always been there. You know, Trump just pulled an inside straight 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's difficult to pull inside straight again. I still hold to the fact that Biden will not win Texas. They think he can. I don't think he can win Texas. I think he win Florida. He will not win Alabama. What does Monroe say?
Monroe is not winning Alabama, okay? Alabama.
But I still hold to my prediction that Biden will win Utah.
All right, we'll get back. You got Utah. Monroe's got Alabama. I just want an electoral college victory. That's all I want.
Yeah, Biden's got a better chance of winning Utah than he does winning Alabama.
Alabama, that's a stretch. All right, Sergio, we're at the end of the show for today. The next time you come on to talk movies, we'll get to the 40-year-old version, which is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Really? Oh,
we'll talk
about that one.
All right, we'll talk about that one. Sergio Mims, thank you so much from the Black Harvest Film Festival. I'm Ben Jarofsky. Take care, everyone.